Great words. Thanks for that. Surrender is a word that we are not always very comfortable with, and yet when it comes down to following Jesus, isn't that kind of what it's about, right? Being willing to surrender. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we, again, we're thankful that you have brought us to this place. And we pray for, even if just for a moment, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice. And so open our hearts and our minds to those things. We pray that your spirit would be our filter so that all the other stuff we can just set off to the side and that we would hear your words. And we pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that it might be fresh and new, and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. We're getting closer to the end of our road trip sermon series, A Journey Through Scripture. And we started a number of weeks ago, and if you remember, we're trying to cover all 66 books of the Bible in 6 weeks, which is just silly, right? And so along the way, we're kind of just highlighting some major points along this journey. And we started, if you remember, we started a couple weeks ago talking about a guy named Abraham and how God kind of used Abraham as sort of the starting point for what was to come. And if you remember, we've talked about it, and I've described it as looking at Scripture from a 30, 40,000 foot view, kind of the overarching story from beginning to end of Scripture. And that we've highlighted and emphasized that the Bible was not written to be a geography book, a history book, a sociological study, but that it is incredibly accurate on a number of those places where it touches, right? But the point of Scripture is to record the places where God connects with and touches humanity. That it really is a salvation history story for us in the ways in which God was moving and working to redeem humanity. Part of that started with Abraham and kind of looked through Genesis and Esther and the law and the history books of the Old Testament. And then we moved to talking about the wisdom literature in the Old Testament, Job through the Song of Solomon, and highlighted Psalm 23 and some different ways God shows up in those, some different things. Talked about the prophets, looked at the 17 prophets, the 12 minor and the 5 major, and how God uses people to convey God's message. And sometimes the prophet was called, was brought up or rised up in a time when he had to deliver not always a really exciting message from God, like, hey, get this stuff figured out or you're going to be destroyed. Or times when the prophet might come in and say, hey, God is blessing you and wants to keep going. You're on the right path. You're walking with God, so keep at it. We talked about the signposts that show up on our journey in life and our journey in faith and how God puts signposts along our path and what some of those different ones look like. And then last week we spent some time, we moved in from the Old Testament, we moved into the New Testament, and we spent and focused our time on the first 4 books of the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we talked about the Gospel, which I called the Gospel within the Gospels. So it was Jesus, it was God sort of, and I tried to use the imagery of tapping the map, you know, on your phone or maybe on your computer to double click, and it centers to wherever you're pointing or you're tapping. And it was God was centering human history around this person of Jesus. Jesus was God tapping to center the map. And so we talked about the Gospels, and in particular, we talked about a chapter out of Luke where Jesus goes into the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And that is sort of, I believe, kind of encompassed the gospel, Jesus, within the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of how Jesus came to, and we talked about, to go and find and seek the lost. And so we spent some time talking about that last week. That serves as the center point for everything that preceded in the Old Testament and everything that then comes after in the rest of the New Testament and into today. Jesus. Jesus is the center of the whole shebang. And so this morning, we're going to kind of look at, in particular, we're going to look at the book of Acts and some of the early letters as kind of the chunk that we're looking at as we are going to finish up the series next week, and then we'll be done with our road trip. And this morning, we're going to look at, in particular, we're going to look at the church. And we're going to look at how Jesus was the center of the map and how that then spawned and it gave birth to this movement, quite possibly the greatest institution and movement in human history, known as the church. Now, you can certainly look back through the history of the church and you can see some rough patches. As a church, capital C, sort of the church universal, yeah, we might have made some bad choices along the way. We might have drifted a little bit here and there, and yet somehow the church has always survived. And so this morning I want to spend some time kind of looking at what that looks like for us, and to be reminded that the church is not perfect. And it's interesting to me how often I have the opportunity to be in conversation with people who are unchurched or de-churched. De-churched would be maybe some of you or people that you know who kind of grew up in church, and you kind of got to a point where you're like, I'm kind of over this. It sort of seems like a bunch of stuff I'm not really interested in. It's a lot of people maybe who are really judgmental, or you know that it's. And so we recognize that the church is, in fact, broken. It is not perfect because the church is made up of broken people, right? It's a group of sinners coming together as we try to follow the one who is sinless. And so it's interesting as I have conversations with individuals who go, you know what? I'm not interested in organized religion, but Jesus seems kind of cool. Faith, I believe in God, and I believe that Jesus even could have some pretty cool things to say. But organized religion, but church, not really interested in that. Because, you know, I got hurt this way, or I got burned by it this way, or that time. And so it's interesting how I have these conversations with individuals and try to help them see that the church is not Jesus. Jesus is perfectly loving. He is perfectly merciful. He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly just. The church, man, we're trying, right? But we're broken. And so what oftentimes I find is that having to help people understand that the brokenness of the church does not equal the brokenness of Jesus. That Jesus is in fact loves you wholly and dearly and deeply. Even when you and I get hurt by this thing called the church. Now, I would invite you in your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. You'll see the words on the screen here in a second. Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 32 through 35. And one of the things that I think has been really cool, if you think about even the church today in 2015, the church is really diverse. And sometimes, you know, we talk about the denominations and the different, it's confusing to us. We don't really get it. We don't know why do we have to have it. And sometimes we think that that's a really negative thing. And I wonder if there's the possibility that that different denominations might actually be to our advantage. And here's why. If the church really is diverse, which I believe that it is, could it not be that the different denominations speak to the diversity of us as humanity? So you might find yourself, you might fit really well at a United Methodist church. You might have family who fits really well at a Lutheran church. You might have friends who fit really well at a Baptist church. Some of you, like me, grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and that was a formative time in your experience and your faith journey. Some of you might be, you know, we have family who, friends who are really feel connected to a non-denominational church. Great. I think all of that is to be celebrated because we are all so different and so diverse. It's kind of like, this is maybe a poor analogy that would break down. To me, it's kind of like the different flavors of ice cream. Most of us really like ice cream. Some of us don't like, and you have very strong feelings about particular flavors of ice cream. I don't like this flavor or that flavor. I like ice cream, but not that. That's not the right fit for my ice cream palate, right? Others of us would go, cool, I can roll with lots of different flavors, and it's good, and it's fine. And I think that the church is sort of like that, that the denominations in the church, universal, are different flavors of maybe how we approach and how we do church, and that in themselves can actually be a good thing in that they can open, it speaks to a more diverse group of people. But I think there are a couple key things that we need to be aware of as we think about the church. And so Acts chapter 4, and I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Acts chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 32 through 35. Now all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had, verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. And so when I think about the church, I think about the church as an outpost. And I think about it in this way, that we as the church are called to be kind of, the idea of an outpost that I want to kind of highlight is the idea of being out on, sort of out on the frontier. We're out on the front edge of something. And it seems like to me that we as the church are called to be out. We're called to be out. Out on the edge. Out on the frontier of how we're going to connect with and reach culture today. And so I want to run with this idea a little bit, and I think there's a couple key things that we can read from this passage of how we can be effective and what I think the design of the church or intent of the church should be. The first thing I think of is if you look at the first part of this passage in verse 32, the first part of verse 32, the writer of Acts says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They were all going, I see this as, all going in the same direction. Now, this is the idea of being unified. And what I like about the church is that unity does not equal the same opinion. And there's something about that to me that I'm encouraged by and I celebrate, that we can have as many different opinions in this room as there are people, but we can still be unified and try to be going in the same direction. And as the church, we are called to that kind of unity. Which to me, there's a deeper sense of unity when you and I can disagree on opinions or certain things, but know that we are still unified as we're trying to go in the same direction. It's the idea that we are actually closer to Christ, that our faith journey is actually stronger when we are in ministry with others together. So that as we're going in the same direction together, that then your relationship with God actually becomes stronger as you and I walk together as we go in the same direction. We can disagree on a lot of stuff, but we know that even in the midst of the disagreement, we are still unified as we pursue Christ. And that as we do that together, the closer that we are together in ministry with each other, the closer then that we as individuals are with Christ. The second thing I think is interesting is the second part of verse 32. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. I think that the church is called to split the work, that it's about us dividing the work and sort of going after it together. So we're moving in the same direction, and we're looking at the work that is the church, and we're splitting it up, that the many hands makes light work. If you're taking notes, Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks about the cost of following him. There is a cost associated with following Jesus, which means that there is a cost, that it is work to be the church. A couple weeks ago, we worked through a sermon series, and one of the things that we talked about, highlighted, was the idea and the importance of bearing with one another. That it's work to live life together, right? This is us talking about living life together, learning to be like Christ, to love like Christ. That's our vision here at Gateway. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to live and learn and love together. And it is work. It is work to bear with one another. It is work to put up with one another. And so when we can divide the work amongst us, it makes it a little easier to bear. the church is work. I wonder how many of us, when we think about what it means to be the church, I wonder how many of us, this is just a rhetorical question for you to think about, how open are you in asking for help when you need it? I mean, how open are you in the life of the church as we try to be the church and to be unified and to, how open are you to say, to come to a brother or sister in Christ within the church and go, I need help? And the help could be everything from, I need help, you know, this is going on, and if I had a meal, if someone could just make my family a meal, man, that would make a huge difference in our life right now. You know, I just cannot get the craziness of things that are happening in my life. I cannot get to mowing my yard. It would really be helpful if there was someone in the life and the community of our church who could mow my yard. You know, I am struggling, and I need help. I don't know where my faith is right now. I can't find it. I cannot find my faith. I think it's there somewhere underneath all of the chaos and the maybe perhaps rubble of my life right now. I can't find it. I can't seem to find Jesus. I need help. And I wonder if we look at the passage out of Acts, that if this is not a picture of the church, that we should be able to come to one another and say, I need help. Whatever the help might look like or be, what would it look like for you if you were open enough to ask for help when you need it? Verse 32, the second part of, we're going to go back, the second part of this passage that we just also kind of talked about was the idea of the shared stuff. If you've ever gone on a road trip with somebody, I don't know if you've ever done this, because it would be probably really weird if you did. If you went on a road trip with someone and you labeled all of your stuff, like, hey, I got all the snacks for the road trip, but I labeled the ones that are mine. So, like, we're going to go on this trip together, we're going to go in the same direction, right? Keep thinking. But I labeled my stuff, so, like, don't eat my Cheetos, okay? Like, I don't know what snacks you got, and those can be yours, but there was something about the early church when it began that they shared, and they were willing to share stuff. So part of it is not just bearing with one another and that we would be willing to share our stuff, like sometimes the mess in our lives, that we're willing to share the mess, but also that they were willing to share their physical stuff, even to the point where the passage tells us that there was hardly anyone in need amongst them. What if you trust your church so much so with your resources and your generosity that you felt like you could come and you could give of your time and your treasure and your talents and trust that we as Gateway Community Church were going to do the things that needed to be done with those resources and touch people's and change people's lives? Right? I mean, there's a depth of not just a generosity and a commitment, but a trust that these individuals brought to the early church, that they would come and say, I just sold this property and I got all this money and here you go. No strings attached. Here it is. Just do the work of the kingdom. Would it not be an exciting thing if we as a church were doing the things of the kingdom, that we could trust one another to know that I don't have to have any strings attached. I don't have to designate anything. I can just know, and I can offer myself, my time, and my treasure, and trust and know that the church is going to do and is aware of the needs amongst us and in our community. To me, that is a picture of the church. That's the idea of sharing our stuff. That what's mine is yours. You need something, and I have it. It's yours. The last thing that this passage makes me think about when I think about the church. If you look at verse 33, with great power and God's grace was so powerfully at work. There's something about the church that we have a shared power. Right? There's got to be something that makes us different than some other or any other social club or nonprofit that's also doing good things in the community. And I believe that this shared power is what makes us distinct and unique and different from all the other social clubs, all the other nonprofits who are also doing good work, but that the shared power, that through the risen Christ, that we share together, we are able to do so much more than we could ever do on our own. This is the idea, I think, of synergy, right? The word comes from, originally comes from a Greek word, which means working together. That we can do so much more when we are working together. So that much more important is the idea that we're going in the same direction. It's the picture of the horses who are yoked together and they're going in the same direction. If you have two horses that are trying to work together and they're going in opposite directions, then there's no work actually being done. So that if we are unified and going and moving in the same direction, that then as we share the power, as we're moving in the same direction, that we know and can experience by God's grace. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them and through them that we're able to do way more than we could ever do on our own. To me, this is the idea of what does it look like for us to come together and say, what are we going to go after? What needs are we going to try to meet? And then as a group, we collectively in the same direction look for ways to meet those needs. How are we going to, as a group of, I don't know how many people are here right now, but it's a decent group of us that if we all decided we were going to go in the same direction and go after the same thing, that by the power of God, we're going to be able to do some stuff. I mean, that we could actually change this community around us. If and when we move in the same direction and by the power of God's grace and his love, move together. So we move in the same direction. We split the work. We share our stuff. And we're reminded that we share the power that God is moving and working in us and through us. And I believe, expect him to do that. That's a part of sharing God's power, is that we expect that he is going to do things in us and through us and with us. And that as he sets the direction, we follow. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your church. And we confess to you that there are plenty of times when we are not very good at being your church. That sometimes we struggle to really love people deeply like you love people, like you love us. And so we pray as a part of your church universal that those of us here at Gateway, that we would be attentive to your spirit as it leads us, that we would be open to the ways in which you would use us, and Lord, bring us closer together as a community of faith, that as we grow in our relationship with each other, that we would also then grow in our relationship with you. Lord, we continue to pray and expect that you are using us and that you will continue to use us. And so give us the humility to be led and to be used by you. Lord, help us to give a picture of your church that is a picture of Jesus. And while we know that we are deeply broken, that your love goes deeper still. And by that, might we be a place where those who are on the outside would feel welcomed inside. Lord, help us to always be thinking about ways in which, as a church, we can be open to the visitor. To those who maybe are a little unsure about what it means to know you or to follow you, but they're open to the possibility. Lord, help us to not be the ones who would convince them otherwise. And so we give you thanks for our church. And we give you thanks for the ways in which you have and will continue to bring us together and to seek that which is lost.